It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. And, well, the real me is an appropriate way to bring in Andy Daynard, who writes about reality TV on his blog, realityblurred.com. He's been on with me many, many times, and I've invited him here today to talk about something he wrote about earlier this week, having to do with a new show that CBS has ready in the hopper, debuting very, very soon. Hi, Andy. How are you?
Hey, good, Paul. How are you?
Good. Welcome back. Tell us about this new show CBS has ready to go called The Briefcase. First of all, when is this going to be on?
It'll debut at the end of this month. I think May 27th is the actual date. It's the Wednesday. It takes over from Survivor on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. Yeah, so May 27th. Basically, it's a show on which the producers of the show will give a briefcase with $100,001 for some reason. I don't know why it's that extra $1 to a poor or family who's financially strapped, so a family that desperately needs the money. And then they will tell them that there's one catch, which is they can keep all the money for themselves, or they can give some or all of the money to a family that might need it more than they do. And basically, the show is about whether or not they're going to give the money to the other family.
Because, when you have people who are already at a low point in their life with desperate financial need, whether it's because of a job layoff or because of health bills or whatever it is that's brought them to a point in their life where they're just scraping by, maybe lucky to be getting by paycheck to paycheck, the one thing you want to do is increase the emotional duress in that household.
Exactly, which is, that's horrifying as on its own. And I think they think they're doing something good because the secret twist to all this is that there's another family making an identical decision about the family that originally got the briefcase. So basically there's two $100,000 briefcases in play, and then at the end the families will sit down and see if they decided to give the money to the other family or if they were selfish. And again, because like you said, you know, we're going to create some emotional duress here, they've cast these families that are kind of opposites. Like, you have Republicans in Texas who are, I think, veterans. I think that's all the same family. And then they have to decide whether or not to give money to a lesbian couple who's adopted several children, and then the reverse. So we're going to play to stereotypes and basically try to see, like, who we can judge the most for being selfish and terrible, or who will somehow defy all odds and actually be nice to someone else and give them the money.
Wow. And this not only got past the idea stage, but to the pilot stage and to the casting stage. And then they found these desperate people who, you know, do what desperate people do. They were willing to go on there knowing that they were going to get money, but then forced them to make this choice. It's like dangling a candy bar in front of a kid and saying, you might be able to get this, but maybe you won't.
Yeah, and then gathering millions of people around to judge that person for whatever decision they make. I mean, you know, I can't imagine in any world where it's not a rational decision just to say, like, my family desperately needs this money, I'm going to keep it for myself, you know, ourselves. But with cameras there, then you're worried about, like, how you're going to be judged or perceived. And so maybe you decide to make a worse decision for your family and make a decision, you know, based on the strangers who might need it more than you do or whatever.
Are there conversations like that on the show where, well, you know, I'd like to keep this money, but we're on TV and I don't want to look like a mean person who doesn't care about somebody else who's in need, so I'll give them that?
That's a good question. I haven't seen anything like that. So all we've seen so far is about a four-minute clip, which I just put at the top of the page on realityblurred.com, so your listeners can go watch that trailer whenever they get a chance tonight, because it's, you know, you definitely see them kind of like weighing the decision, and they also get to learn a little bit more about the other family, so they can decide whether or not, like, you know, again, like, will the lesbians give the money to the Republicans or not? Like, it's so offensive on so many levels to me, and I just can't imagine how anyone decided that this was a good idea. I will say that the executive producer of the show responded to my pretty brutal criticism on Twitter this morning, and he said, and I'll quote, "You couldn't be more wrong about the series. It will be the most inspirational show on TV." So perhaps I'll just get inspired instead of horrified.
So, yeah, it'll be inspirational, contrary to what you get from watching this clip, which I watched on your site, and I felt exactly the same way you did, which is why I wanted to have you on here to talk about this today. So what he's essentially saying is the show is not what you actually see in this tease for the show that we're using to get you to watch the show.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, because if there's maybe something, you know, and I don't know, maybe we're supposed to be inspired by the decisions they ultimately make, or like maybe they'll cry in each other's arms or something, but like it's still sort of an hour of emotional manipulation. And don't get me wrong, I'm totally all for reality shows that have emotional content, or people are making hard choices, or, you know, are weighing consequences, but this is just like emotionally manipulating people who, as you said, are already in a really low place, and that just seems pretty awful.
How come we never see rich people put under emotional duress on reality shows?
That's a good question. I think maybe, you know, I would definitely have less of a problem with that, maybe. But I think maybe we should just put reality producers under some emotional duress and see what would happen then.
I guess the closest you ever come to that is on that other CBS show, Undercover Boss. That's CBS, right?
Exactly, yeah. Which, I mean, that has problems too for me. Namely, which is like, you know, they kind of pick these people to either be the fall people for the company or to then receive some kind of like benefit, I guess, because the boss saw how amazing they were. So imagine you're, you know, like working at a fast food restaurant and the CEO comes and works next to you and is like, "Oh, you're a single parent, like I'm going to pay your way through college." Like, and then imagine you're working at that restaurant and you're somebody else. Like, well, I'm a single parent. Why don't you pay my way through college too? But
yeah, or in many cases, it's not even something that extravagant. It's, oh, you've been working here really hard for 9 years and you're still only making $25,000 a year. I'll tell you what, we're going to make that $35,000 a year. And by the way, you're getting $10,000 and we're getting an hour of corporate advertising in prime time on CBS.
Exactly. That's very true.
Now,
at least as far as I know, there's no product placement on the show, although maybe we'll see something like the briefcases sponsored by a luggage company or something.
Oh, all right. While I have you here, Andy, I also have to ask you about Survivor. Ian and I are big fans of this show. Did you see this week's?
I did.
Okay. Because we've talked off the air quite a bit about, speaking of emotional duress, the stuff that some of the people on this show are doing to each other this season, I think, makes them amongst the ugliest cast members this show has ever had, not named Hans.
I think you summarized it perfectly. And I mean, I'm always curious, like, if I'm just overreacting, but it's just like I don't like anybody who's left anymore. And you know, the maybe the one palatable person was Shirin, who was the subject of all of this emotional abuse. And it wasn't just like people getting mad. It was like someone screaming at her that she had no soul and just tearing her apart for a half an hour. And she's a survivor of domestic abuse who had a father who would verbally and physically abuse her when she was a child. And this other person knew that and did it anyway and took advantage of that. And it's week after week, it's just like it's uglier and uglier. And this is a show that I usually love. And this season, I just am like not happy with it.
I agree. And you also follow all these people who are on there on Twitter and their other social media outlets. Did any of them talk at all about Will at any point being sorry for the way he's treated Shirin?
Shirin said that Will never reached out in like the last 9 months since the show has been taped until like 4 or 5 days after the episode aired, or maybe 3 days. So again, after all the backlash. And then he tried to apologize, I guess, in some context. And she said at that point she wasn't ready to hear an apology because it only really came after the backlash. But other people have been even worse, like Dan, who has not been one of the he's again been one of the kind of awful people on the season. He has been on social media basically saying that she deserved everything that she got, and it was her fault that people yelled at her. So it's blaming the victim and just, you know, as if it couldn't get uglier, now we have people piling on in that way.
As I've mentioned to you before, do these people not understand the social element of Survivor? You have to be nice enough to people you're going to vote off so that they'll be nice enough to give you $1 million.
I know that's there was a great conversation, and by great I mean in quotes, earlier this season, where Dan was like sitting with Shireen, and like he basically says, you know, you're a terrible player, and it's just like, why would you? And then he says, like, you're a terrible player. You don't understand the social game. And I'm like, you're telling someone that they're terrible, someone who may actually vote for you at some point.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that? They seem to have all lost their minds completely. And I don't know what's maybe in the water down there in Nicaragua.
What did you think of the twist this week with Mike's big move, and the fact that that they've also added something else this season, which is that Dan won a reward and got two votes at Tribal Council, where everybody else only gets one. What do you think of those two twists in the show this season?
The two-vote thing, I'm interested to maybe see how it plays out. It strikes me as kind of fundamentally unfair to have the second vote that no one knows about, although now everyone does know about it because Tyler went through Dan's bag and discovered it. So potentially, I think it potentially could be easy or interesting. I'm just waiting to see how that plays out. In terms of Mike's play, I thought it was brilliant that he was basically using his immunity idol as a weapon and threatening everyone with it. I think he really screwed up earlier, though, at the auction when he made another move and then lied and lost everyone's trust. And so I think he had no one's trust, and so his ploy at Tribal Council didn't actually work at all, I think, because of that. So it does look like it'll have some repercussions next week. So I'm still hoping that something can redeem all this terribleness. But
I hope so, too. But the one thing I will say about Mike's move this week is that the three people already on the jury all seemed incredibly impressed by this big move.
That's true, and as you said, they're the ones who have to actually do something about it. So I think the jury is certainly composed of people who aren't going to give it to one of the people who are really terrible, although I fear that they're not going to have any choice except the terrible people.
One other reality show I've got to ask you about, because we're fans of Shark Tank on this show. Tonight they have a spinoff of Shark Tank called Beyond the Tank. I don't know anything about it. Do you?
I do. I actually watched and did a quick review of the first episode today. It's basically following the companies and the sharks after the deal has been made, which to me it sounds really interesting because there's so many companies now and doing such interesting things. And I'm also a big fan of documentary-style reality TV, like just letting some cameras film some people at work and seeing how Shark Tank affects them. I didn't like the first episode all that much because it basically seemed like an hour of those 90-second updates just expanded into like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm not really a fan of those kind of like staged conversations where they're like, "We're here at Target. Look at our display. It's like, great, you're in Target. Like, now let's go back to Shark Tank and see a deal." So I hope they figure out the show. I think they're still trying to maybe make it better. There's only three episodes airing right now, so perhaps when it comes back in the fall, if it comes back, it'll be a little more interesting.
I feel the same way you do about those staged 90-second updates, but I'm willing to put up with them because they're 90 seconds. And, you know, everybody's a success, and Lori Grenier can turn anything into a hit, and Barbara Corcoran, and, you know, whatever it is. I never see Mark Cuban actually going out and doing one of these updates because I don't think he makes a lot of deals, but the other ones, especially the ones who are really into retail, they're always featured there, and they always have giant success stories. I would love if the people behind Shark Tank, including executive producer Mark Burnett, had the balls to put on something that shows, okay, yeah, they invested $250,000 in this company for 40% of the company, and it bombed. It went
exactly, and that would be amazing. There's also like about between 25 and 50% of the deals made on camera on Shark Tank fall apart during due diligence when basically the sharks figure out that something isn't right according to the deal. I would love to see that process. Like, what happens when they discover that the company lied to them, or, you know, discover that something just isn't going to work? Like, that would be really amazing and interesting television too.
A quarter to a half of them fall apart?
Yeah, and which is apparently, I've talked to the sharks before, and they say that's pretty standard in business in terms of due diligence when you start going through someone else's books and making sure that everything is in order. But it's everything we see on camera doesn't actually come true in real life.
Very interesting. All right. Well, that's going to be on ABC tonight, and also another episode of The Amazing Race, which I know you're fed up with, but I still watch. And you can
Have you enjoyed the blind date twist? Has that been added to it?
It's been a distraction. You know, Phil always asking every couple at the mat, "So, do I see love here?" No, we're just two people who never met before who are trying to win $1 million. Stop asking us that.
Exactly. exactly.
But I don't think. But I really do think it's just a distraction and not that much more. And I'm still a fan of the show.
At least it didn't take the show and ruin it for you. That's good.
I agree. Andy Daynard's website is realityblurred.com. Go watch that 4-minute preview of this new CBS show, The Briefcase, and see if you don't think it's as exploitative as we did. Andy, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.